A very crucial aspect of speech or music therapy for the aphasic patient is the relationship between therapist and patient. Luria emphasized that the origin of speech was social, no less than neurological. It required the interaction of mother and child. It is likely that the same is true of song, and in this sense, music therapy for patients with aphasia is profoundly different from music therapy for a movement disorder like Parkinsonism. In Parkinsonism, it is the motor system which is being activated almost automatically by music, and a tape or CD in this limited sense can do as much as a therapist. But with speech disorders like aphasia, the therapist and her relationship with the patient, a relationship which involves not only musical and vocal interaction, but physical contact, gesture, imitation of movement, and prosody, is an essential part of the therapy. This intimate working together, this working in tandem, depends on mirror neurons throughout the brain, which enable the patient not only to imitate, but to incorporate the actions or abilities of others, as Rizzoletti et al. Have explored. The therapist not only provides support and an encouraging presence, but literally leads the patient into more and more complex forms of speech. With Samuel S., this involved drawing language out until he could sing all the words of Old Man River, then leading him on to sing a whole range of old songs, then, by the right sort of questions, drawing him into short, responsive phrases. Whether there is a chance of going beyond this, of restoring fluent narrative or propositional speech to patients with long-standing aphasia, remains an open question. Saying, "had a great time," or "saw the kids," may be as far as Samuel S. can go. It might be said that such verbal responses are modest, limited, and formulaic, but they do represent a radical advance from purely automatic speech, and they can have an enormous effect on the daily reality of an aphasic person's life, allowing a formerly mute and isolated person to re-enter a verbal world, a world he had seemingly lost forever. In 1973, Martin Albert and his colleagues in Boston described a form of music therapy they called melodic intonation therapy. Patients were taught to sing or intone short phrases. For example, "How are you today?" Then the musical elements of this were removed slowly until, in some cases, the patient regained the power to speak a little without the aid of intonation. One 67-year-old man, aphasic for 18 months, he could only produce meaningless grunts and had received 3 months of speech therapy without effect, started to produce words 2 days after beginning melodic intonation therapy. In 2 weeks, he had an effective vocabulary of 100 words, and at 6 weeks, he could carry on short, meaningful conversations. What is happening in the brain when melodic intonation or any type of music therapy works? Albert et al. Originally thought that it served to activate areas in the right hemisphere, areas homologous to Broca's area. Albert's close colleague, Norman Geschwind, had been fascinated by the way in which children could recover speech and language even after the removal of the entire left hemisphere of the brain. This was sometimes done in children with uncontrollable seizures. Such a recovery or reacquisition of language suggested to Geschwind that, though linguistic ability was generally associated with the left hemisphere, the right hemisphere also had linguistic potential and could take over language functions almost completely, at least in children. Albert and his colleagues thus felt, without clear evidence, that this might be the case, at least to some degree, even in aphasic adults, and that melodic intonation therapy, calling as it did upon right hemisphere musical skills, could help to develop this potential. Detailed imaging of patients undergoing melodic intonation therapy was not possible during the 1970s, and a 1996 PET scan study by Pascal Bellin et al. Seemed to show that there was no activation in the right hemisphere of such patients. They reported, moreover, that there was not only an inhibition of Broca's area in aphasic patients, but hyperactivity of a homologous area in the right hemisphere. We may call it, for convenience, the right Broca's area. This sustained hyperactivity on the right side exerts an active inhibiting action on the good Broca's area, which in its weakened state is powerless to resist. The challenge, then, is not only to stimulate the normal left Broca's area, but to find a way to damp down the right Broca's area with its malignant hyperactivity. Singing and melodic intonation seem to do exactly this. By engaging the right hemisphere circuits in normal activity, they disengage them from pathological activity. This process has a certain self-sustaining momentum of its own, for as the left Broca's area is released from inhibition, it can exert a suppressant action on the right Broca's area. A vicious circle, in short, is replaced by a therapeutic one.